Be back with you this week. I actually had a chance because the church that we were attending last Sunday didn't start until 11:15, so I actually got to watch the service online, and I thought that Pastor Jerry did an amazing job filling the pulpit, and we certainly saw the response. What a wonderful, beautiful response, and we have those, and we're praying over those things that were in your closet, and so I'm grateful for that, and just know that we are, we're praying over those, and then we're going to go ahead and burn those and just trust God that in 2020 that we have moved on beyond those things. And so here is the question for the year. What if 2020 was the most impactful year of your life? What if 2020 was the most impactful year? And I'm not actually talking about what we would normally think about, that there's some wonderful series about New Year, New You, right? Or Happy New Year, or your best year ever. That's actually not even close to what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about this year having the greatest impact on you. I'm talking about what if 2020 was the year when you had the greatest impact for the kingdom of God, the impact on others. And so this series is based around the biblical foundations and the practical blueprints for this being the most impactful year of your life. I mean, personal fulfillment. We would often think that personal fulfillment is if I can spend all my time thinking about me and how I advance, then I'll be fulfilled. But it actually turns out to be exactly opposite, that the more we focus on others than ourselves, we find fulfillment. I mean, and that's true for the church. When the church is not worried about their survival, or they're not worried about their advancement or their growth or fill up all of their seats, and the emphasis is on others, that's when churches find their greatest fulfillment. I want to share some amazing statistics with you today. Northway Community Church grew in attendance by 26%. Now, that doesn't sound that impressive, but 26%. You need to check with your friends and ask them if their church grew by 26% last year. Now, let me give you, put it in perspective, 26%. If I would have grown personally by 26% this year, my 190 would have turned into 238. I mean, even better, my 6'3" would have turned into 7'9". I mean, I would be as tall, I measured this, I would be as tall as this cross if I grew by 26% last year. I mean, that's what happened in your church. That's what God did among us last year. We grew by 26%. In 2018, we had 3,138 people attend a service on Sunday mornings. In 2019, we had 4,291 people attend. So let me just do the math for you really fast. 1,153 more people were impacted in 2019 than in 2018. 1,153 people more were impacted by this church. Church, I want to share with you that I have a spiritual urgency, a holy desperation for our church. Over the last 18 months, I have to admit that we focused on coming together. We focused on becoming healthy. We focused on coming to a point of excitement. And so if we desired to come together, if we desired to be healthy, if we desired to have and create some level of excitement, I believe that in 2019, we did that. But church, I believe we've come now to a time of movement. And I know this is a big ask of all of us. And so today I'm asking for your permission. I'm asking for permission to press on. I'm asking for permission to shift. Church, I want there to be a holy shift in our church. a holy shift, a plan to make an impact, an impression, and influence on the world around us in Jesus' name, for Jesus' name. Because guess what? There is no plan B. God does not have a plan B for building his kingdom except you and I. And so when the Bible says in Matthew 28:18-20, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. The command is go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Church, this is not the great suggestion. Jesus was not looking at his disciples and saying, listen, I would like you to consider this plan. I have a suggestion for you. No. He says, listen, this is the command. This is what your task is. This is what your mission is. This is what my will fulfilled looks like. And church, this isn't new. I don't know how many of you, like me, started a Bible in a year plan. Right? We're going to read the whole Bible in a year for the 17th time. And one of the things you find out very early on in the story is that God had reproduction in the original design. I mean, when he created the plants, he didn't just say, listen, I'm going to create these plants. And then when those ones get old, I'm going to recreate these plants again. No, what he did, he created seed-bearing plants. And so this plant, its seeds that created by that plant will then create the next plant. I mean, think about this, not to get too intimate here, but that's God's design for us. When daddies love mommies and mommies love daddies, kids happen. We have reproduction in the design of who we are. And church, it's no different for the faith family. That's what Matthew 28 is saying. Listen, go, you, the disciple, go. And in Jesus' name. It happens again. It's getting crinkled up and thrown. That's what God's design is for the church. To be an army of movement of followers on mission. That I'm a follower, you're a follower of Jesus, and we go forth and we lead other people to become followers of Jesus. That's the reproduction of the church. That's the Great Commission. And church, that happens by making an impact in people's lives. This idea of go be do, go in Jesus' name, be in Jesus' name, do in Jesus' name. That's what it is. When we go be do, we go with greater devotion and passion and effectiveness. Now we realize that when we are instructed to go, we can only go with what is within us. You can't give away something you don't have. And so all of this is based upon the work of God in your life first. So you can't give away what you don't have. And so we pray that you have experienced the North Way. And we have a slide here we're going to show you. And basically, we believe that everyone should encounter Jesus. Everyone should come into a relationship with Jesus Christ and say yes to that which has been done for you. Yes to the forgiveness. Yes to the freedom. Yes to the fullness of life that comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then we believe that we should all engage with Jesus. We need to deepen our roots. We need to deepen our understanding. And oftentimes that's done in small groups. And so we have this encounter with Jesus. And then we have engaging with Jesus. And then we come to the third part where we're empowered for Jesus. And that's the go part. And so we believe that all of us should experience that. That's our hope for every single person that comes to Northway Community Church, is that every one of us will encounter Jesus, every one of us will engage with Jesus, and every one of us will be empowered for Jesus. And so we can't share that with someone unless we ourselves have first experienced it. And so over the next 4, 5, 6 weeks, we're going to talk about my impact. And I don't mean to be, we're not trying to be a selfish church. But I think so often in churches, the pastor preaches kind of to the group. And a few people are like, oh, yeah, I get it. That's for me. But a lot of us were like, well, that ain't for me. That's for that guy. Or it's for that lady. So I want this sermon series to be about you. My impact. Say it's my impact. That God desires that each and every one of us have an impact on the world around us. And so over the next month or so, we're going to look at this idea of impact. And so this first week, impact involves investment. And so, church, if we're going to have an impact on the world around us, it involves first having and making an investment. So here's my generic, simple Bryce Greco definition of impact. Giving pieces of yourself away for a greater return in the future. When you make an investment in something, you're literally giving small pieces of yourself away, believing that you giving them away in the end will have a greater return. It's another word for sacrifice. Another word is commitment. In order that others may know and experience and share what you know, experience, and had the opportunity to share. And so my question about investments, and again, obviously, I know it's really difficult to not think financial here. But when it comes to the discussion of investments, I have a few questions for us. What are we trying to keep ourselves for? Why are we not continually giving little pieces of ourselves away? What are we trying to protect for? What are we trying to preserve ourselves for? What is our goal? I mean, are we saying, listen, I can't give you any part of me. I can't give myself away because of something that's coming later. We kind of just say, well, I have to kind of keep what I've got because later on I have to give it away. Or are we saying that I can't hold on to what I have because I'm waiting for a better offer? There's going to come along a time someone's going to ask me for a piece of myself and I have to have all of it intact in order to be able to give it then. Or are we waiting for a more noble or significant task in order to give pieces of ourselves away? We've got to decide that because we believe that God has commissioned us. God has given us a mission and he's allowed us to be a part and participate in his will. So this is the time and this is the place and this is the task for us to give ourselves to. Church, when we say this is my investment, we're saying I have a pleasure in serving God, in fulfilling his will and his mission in my life. I have a deep appreciation for the personal journey with Jesus that I have, that I am able to give a little bit of myself away because I have an appreciation for what Jesus has done in my life. And so I desperately desire that he'll do it in someone else's life because I have a deep appreciation for what he's already done in my life. And I want to give it away. I want other people to experience that. I don't want simply to know that experience, but I want other people to know that experience. So Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 through 10, says it this way. I'm going to read it out of the Bible here. That's not going to work. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." He's talking about you and I. This is about you and I. This is about the church. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they we're destined for. Verse 9, check this out. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Church, that's talking about you and I. That's laying out the functions of the church. What we as the church ought to be doing. What we as the church ought to be spending our time on. It's saying that we as the church have a very high office. We have a solemn responsibility. We are called apart. We are set apart in character and conduct by the power of the Holy Spirit. That we're called to develop a relationship with God that is then demonstrated in relationship with other people. That's really how this church thing works. We develop a relationship with God. That's the vertical, and it's demonstrated by a relationship with other people, which is the horizontal. So our heads and our hearts and our hands are encountered, engaged, and empowered. Church, there is no more, I'm just a church volunteer. I'm just a church goer. I just attend Northway Community Church. No. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 through 10 says that you are not a church volunteer. It says that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy people. That sounds like way more than just a church volunteer. That sounds like way more than, hey, I just take up a seat in the sanctuary. You are a chosen generation, one who has been born of the Spirit, one who is the object of choice and divine favor of God. Not because you're some great people, but because you are loved by God. He didn't choose you. You're not a chosen generation because you warrant it or you deserve it. We are a chosen generation is because we are loved by God. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. There is no such thing as a professional caste or an exclusive fraternity. This is not just the work for Pastor Bryce. This is a work for all of us. I'm going to need that later. Each of us is participating. Each of us is participating in Christ's threefold ministry. Stay with me here. Jesus was a prophet, a king, and a priest. Jesus was a prophet, a king, and a priest, and we are co-heirs with Jesus. And so we too are prophets, kings, and priests. We serve this ministry of the prophet. We share, we tell, we share the ministry of kingship. We're a leader. We share the ministry of priesthood. We're caring for people. We are mandated to represent Christ in his redemptive outreach to the world. That's for all of us. Every single one of us are called to share what we have with other people. Share the Jesus we know and the Jesus we have with someone else. It goes on. We're a holy people. Just talking about how God's standard is our standard. That God's people keep God central. That's what it calls to be a holy people. What is important to God is important to us. Real fancy word. We're consecrated. And all that means is that we're blessed for a purpose. That you are consecrated by God. God sees you. God chose you. And he has blessed you for a purpose. That you are given a blessing in order to be a blessing. Amen? And it's not because Israel was perfect or the church is perfect. No, Israel failed. The church sometimes acts in a ridiculous way. But Christ is our righteousness. And so we act out of who Christ in us is. Church, one of the things that I want you to see here, if you're sleeping, you want to wake up, because this is good stuff. This is better than I can come up with. What am I looking for here? He in verse 9, go to verse 9. That's my wife back there. That's why I called her babe. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. So he's saying, here's who you are. This is 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 who you are. And then he says, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness. So what it's basically saying in this passage is that who you are, all those things, royal priesthood, holy nation, who you are leads to what you do. Who you are leads to what you do. Because look, he lists all the who they are. And so he says that you may declare the praise. So who you are leads to what you do. You declare. What do I declare? I'm a declarer. What do I declare? Well, here's what you declare. I once was in darkness. Tell people about that. Tell them about your life before Jesus. Don't disown that part. That's part of your story. This is who I was before Jesus, BC. But I met Jesus, and this is who I am now. That's your story. That's your testimony. Well, Pastor, I don't know how to share Jesus with people. There, I just showed you how to do it. This is what I was like before I met Jesus. And this is who I am after I met Jesus. And be sure to add in here that I don't have it all together. I'm not perfect. I'm not who I am going to be, but I'm certainly not who I used to be. Amen? I'm not who I used to be. I may not be who I'm ought to be. I may have room to grow, but I know for sure that I'm not who I used to be. Oh, this is where I'm going to need that paper. Excuse me. Ephesians chapter 2 says this. Listen to this. This is good stuff. For it is by grace you have been saved. Okay, so there it is, right? So we understand we didn't deserve it. God did this amazing thing through Jesus Christ. That's what it means. So it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God. So we get that part, right? That's the Jesus part. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So church, do you see that? It talked about that we were saved through faith, that Jesus Christ death on the cross is our salvation. And so no, we are not saved by works. You don't work really, really, really hard, God loves you, and then you go to heaven. No, you're not saved by works. Church, you're saved for works. So that because we've had an encounter with Jesus, it compels us then to go out and live a new way. It go out and impact other people. That's what it's saying there. For we are God's handiwork. We're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's why God didn't take you to heaven as soon as you said yes to Jesus. When you come and say, listen, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I want to live my life for you. He didn't just immediately take you to heaven. He had you remain here because he wanted you to impact other people. So here's what I want you to get, because it sounds a lot like doing, a lot of doing. Listen, this whole investment thing, it's not about doing it better. I'm not asking you to be a better Christian this year. Don't do better this year. Because what I need you to know is it's already done. Right? Amen? It's not about doing better. It's because it's already done. But what it might be is about developing. So I asked Josh, I told Josh, Josh, come on up here. You got to take your coat off. I didn't say take your shirt off. I just said coat. Oh, all right. Well, you're going to ruin my illustration. All right. Well, maybe you can tell. All right. You're just unzip this over there. Okay. All right. Can you tell the difference between us? He's way bigger than me. Now, guess what? He and I have the same muscles. Did you know that? Every single one of us, every dude in this room has the same muscles as this guy. None of us are as big as him. Right? You want to know why? Because mine have laid dormant and his have been developed. I said I was embarrassing me, not you. So here's the thing. I love you. But my point, okay, you can sit down. Here's my point. Here's my point, right? So it's not about doing better. It might just be about development. It's about muscles, right? So we all have the same muscles, but some of us haven't developed our muscles. And some of us have. So it's not about, we all have what we need in order to be effective for Jesus. Amen? He's given us all that we need, but some of us haven't developed it. And so it's not a condemnation thing. It's not a criticism thing. It's just a, hey, listen, you have what you need. Now let's just develop it. Let's go out and serve. Let's go out and love. Let's go out and listen. Let's go out and help other people. And that's what it takes to develop who you are. Amen? Sorry, Josh. I love you, man. Don't hate me. Let me tell you why. Can I tell you why? I'm bringing this in for a landing. It's time to land. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 15 says this. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Church, the reason why we go, the reason why we make an investment in other people, the reason why we want to have an impact is because Christ's love compels us. That we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for him who died for us. That God is calling each one of us, our gifts and our abilities to be developed, equipped, and deployed to impact other people. That our skills that have been honed in the crucible of life, our experiences, your experiences, inside a church and outside a church, they can be used to impact other people. Even our failures. Can I get an amen? God can use that which we have failed at in order to help other people. God has called you and I to be more than just an occupier of a seat and a contributor of $20 bills. There is untapped potential that can be unleashed. Church, our church will not become the force that God intends until we take seriously the mission to raise up fully devoted followers of Jesus who have been transformed by their encounter in Jesus, their engagement with Jesus, and empowered for Jesus, and are willing to impact others. I'll close with this scripture. I had more, but I want to close with it. Last scripture I want to share with you today. Washington, you can come back. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21 says this. All this is from God. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Wait a minute. Did you catch that? The very thing that God did in our life, he then turned around and said, help other people have that happen in their life. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. It's not about catching people in their sin. It's not about being the sin police. It's not about finding out what's wrong with everybody and emphasizing that and telling them that they don't turn or burn. That isn't the goal here, people. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the story, friends. We have been rescued, and we now have the opportunity to throw a life preserver to somebody else. Well, Pastor, where can I invest? Where can I commit? Where can I give away a small piece of myself for a greater return? Next week in the bulletin, there's going to be what's called a first serve list. And this is going to be a list of ways that you can get involved at Northway that require little to no training. I mean, maybe the first way that you can get involved at Northway is by greeting people. Every one of you, when you came to this church, were greeted by somebody. And I bet you remember who that was. They have an impact. Amen? And so maybe that's where you get involved. Maybe you can sacrifice by getting up a little earlier tomorrow or calling your boss and tell him you're going to be a half hour or 45 minutes late and help me serve some coffee on the corner tomorrow. That's an impact. We impact the people that take coffee. We impact the people that raise their coffee cup to us. We impact the people that wave at us. We're impacting people. Maybe you can give a little bit of yourself away by being an upward greeter, or maybe you can share at halftime your story to the kids and the parents one Saturday morning in January, February, or March, be a halftime speaker. Maybe you can work in the snack bar with Susie. Maybe some of you would like to lead a small group in February. You know, you have this passion, you have this desire. Oh, there's this topic that I always wanted to do a study on, or there's this thing I always wanted to share with people. You say, okay, Pastor, I want to be a small group leader in February when we start small groups again. I'd love to talk to you about that. Maybe you're looking for a little bit higher commitment. Right now, we're looking for an outreach director, someone that will work with me and the office on putting together and kind of mapping out and overseeing the outreaches of our church. Friends, listen, let me just admit it. I'm prone to exaggerations because I don't know. I think big. But I think that there have been things in my life and things in my leadership that they came to pass because I told people it was possible. I saw something that wasn't yet, that I thought could be, and people picked up on the vision, and it happened. I'm guessing that before, about a month or two ago, very few of us had ever heard of Upward. And now we have 83 families. 83 families that are going to be coming, and we're going to have access to breathe Jesus into their life. That's amazing. And that's just the start. We don't even know what God's going to do with that. And so today, friends, I want you to know that I believe. All right, let me just say it this way and I'm done. Watch, I'm going to put this down. I feel like, and this isn't to limit God, but I feel like where we are over the next 12 months will be a very, very key indicator of who we will be over the life of my pastor at this church. The next 12 months, if the trajectory is going to be like this, it's going to be like this, it's going to be like this, I feel like the next 12 months will set the course for a lot of years at this church. I think this has a wildly big potential for our church. And so I want you to know that I believe that every single one of us can have an impact on our world. Our church can impact our world. And I think it starts with giving little pieces of ourselves away for a future benefit. Amen? Amen. Stand with me. Let's sing.